for Melbourne Airport parking. Book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And Self-Wealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11.16 SEN, Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Tim, thanks. Property investment. Learn about property investment one-on-one. Wow, what a big hour we've got. Jason Richardson, who is a Wednesday regular, unless he's got a better gig, wanders in. G'day, Richo.
Which is hopefully often, but good to be with both of you. I've loved your show so far. I love Tim in particular, because this is my area of expertise in the racing industry, is the out of the side of your mouth sort of stuff.
The side whisperer.
The side whisperer, but you can't just talk normal.
Is there a side whisperer in racing?
Everyone's a side whisperer.
Is that where it comes from?
Of course it is, because everyone gives you a tip, but they want to do it off the side of your mouth, you know what I'm saying?
You've got to talk like that, though.
I don't know if it necessarily needs to have a lisp when you do.
Well, it's a visual and a visual medium.
Hey, we're getting a lot of feedback still coming through about Liz Cambage and Lauren Jackson, too, about the penalty.
You haven't seen it, Rich, are you telling me? So what I'm going to do is while we facilitate some talk back after having spoken to Lauren Jackson, Santo Chilaro is here. He's out the back at the moment, just familiarising himself with some other controversy.
Well, that's right. Where a young man came across an interesting tackle. I don't know what was going on there. And Liz Cambage is
front
and centre.
You have a look at this, while we do...
Please.
Yeah. Well, this is some of what has come through in the last 20 minutes. If another country's player did it to us, we'd scream bloody murder. Usual as weak when we're on our own. That's what we're talking about, the penalty against Liz Cambage. But then this too, I take my daughter to watch the WNBL and Liz Cambage gets targeted every week with cheap whacks and niggles. It's like taggers in AFL getting under somebody's skin. And hypocritical too, to say it's a soft penalty from the WNBL, as the AFL was soft on Sam Mitchell, who was a repeat offender for the same type of repeated incidents from Macca on the road.
And Lauren, to be fair, I think she was speaking from a Boomer's perspective to say that they were happy with the penalty because it meant that Liz only missed the one game.
I think she went deeper than that. She was saying,
"Well, I'm trying to stick up for her because right here she's copying a fair whacking." I think Lauren Jackson's response is pathetic. The incident was a terrible incident. Trying to justify creates a bad precedent. My thoughts on Lauren Jackson have now changed. That's Tony from Canberra.
And what's the injury to the player?
A corked hamstring. So she's still has a big bruise appeared on her leg, and she's been unable to complete full training during the week as well, but they believe that she'll be okay to play at the weekend.
I don't think it looked appropriate, but I don't think that was her intent. Wasn't she just protecting her space and being a bit of niggling? I reckon you're being harsh, you two. You've been out of the game.
Did you watch the right bit of vision?
Of course I did.
Santo Chilaro joins us, and what a great delight it is to have him in the studio, given that there's so much happening in the world game, and we organised it. We rang the
FFA.
And said, we've got Santo coming in at 8. Could you possibly get Ange to have an announcement at 9? And they said, we're happy to do that.
I gave him a quick call and said, come on, Ange, get on with it. I'm on with the boys.
What do you think he's going to say at 9 o'clock
this
morning?
It is so hard.
We're going to take it live here on SEN, by the way.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's so hard to read Ange because he genuinely is his own man. I know him reasonably well. And he's his own man. Even his autobiography, which is an excellent read, is not, you know, my story. It's called Changing the Game. He has different agendas from what most people have. So for all we know, he might think, I've done all I can to this point. I've got them this far. They need a different kind of coach now. So he might take that take.
But isn't he doing the press conference with the head of FFA?
Yeah.
Yep.
So therefore, I've got a theory.
Yeah,
He's... If he's staying on as a coach, then he would have a press conference with the president of the FFA. If he's moving on, he could just do it on his private rogue. So why would he be standing alongside the president of FFA if he's going to leave?
I'm with you. I think that he will stay. I'm 60-40 that he will stay.
Are you? That's a change, though, isn't it? That was almost fait accompli.
That he was going to go.
Our man Carl says, fait of a complete.
It is a fait of complete.
We do it the French way. I think there are clearly things that we don't know about that he wanted in place through the administration. I don't know whether it's setting up a training camp in Europe. We don't know what they are. He's got some certain things that he thinks that the game needs in order to go forward. And he won't be happy unless he has those. And if he doesn't, he'll just move on. So if they can come to those agreements, then he'll stay. Because he'll be one of the few people to go to two World Cups. That's a great... I think it's very hard to say no to that voice in your head going, hey, mate, you're going to a World Cup.
And why would he leave? What else? Where's the competitive tension?
The
what
only
else is on?
Theory was, and this is only theorising...
I love
was,
a theory.
Is ...that he had a big job offer overseas for a big international club, which is going to pay him plenty, and that he had always expressed, I know you can tell me if I'm wrong, but had always expressed the desire to get back into club football.
He does, because that's his strength. He's done some amazing jobs with clubs, and he loves being with the team week in, week out. And I think doing the national thing where you see them once every 3 months is not really his cup of tea. That's my read.
Senator, he's been under the pump. We've heard a lot from him in defending himself and his position, that type of thing. And he also touched on the fact that he believes some of the commentary around him and what he's doing has been racist or has had a racist undertone. Do you buy into that as well?
I have actually really said that has a racist... that he'll always be an outsider.
That's right, but you know, it's sort of like the old WOG thing in Australia, that type of thing. We haven't moved on. There's been some childish barbs that have been directed in his way.
You know what? Strangely enough, I actually haven't heard that. That's interesting. I think that's an interesting way, because I think there are some people that operate in us versus them. Mm-hmm. Mick Malthouse was a great, it's us versus them, so... I'll be antagonistic, and that's just the way I work. That gets the best out of me. So that might be the way he works. But I do think that there have been things thrown at him that have been pretty unfair. I reckon it's hard to qualify for a World Cup. And if we think that it's, you go, hang on, we've done it for 3 years. We almost beat Italy in 2006. We're a good side. We ought to be there. It's really tough, as has been shown, around the world. Holland didn't make it. Italy didn't make it. And, USA, Chile, one of the strongest teams in the world. And the thing is that in the lead up to the World Cup, he only lost against Japan in those final phases. I know out of 22 games, he's lost two. One against Jordan, one against Japan. That's in 22 in the campaign. That's not bad, especially when we don't have the greatest squad that, is probably our weakest for a while.
You're preparing for your greatest ever sporting achievement, the Stork gift. you've been working at it. You've been running dead for however long you ran dead for.
I mean, this is good stuff.
But you've got a coach there that's with you side by side. Mm. How hard would it be if 3 weeks out, in relative terms, he said, I'm off? So what I'm saying is, how hard is it for the Socceroos in this instance if Ange decides to go and we have to put a new coach in?
Well, for a mere mortal, I mean, for me, it's hard to say as the athlete of our generation, but for us, for the mere mortals out there, that would be extremely tough, wouldn't it? Because the one thing that we notice with the Australian team is the passion they have for Ange. Mm-hmm. All the players seem to love him. Surely that has an impact on Ange. Wouldn't he feel a responsibility to go all the way through the journey with him?
Yes, but there are different phases in World Cups, and people realise that in order to make a mark at a World Cup, you might need to go to a completely different level. And also, you're not there week in, week out with him. And that's why I think he loves club football so much. So I think that if he were to make the announcement today that he's not going to be there, I think that the players would adapt to that pretty quickly. I think that they will miss him, because I think that they do like him and play for him. There are some great stories, especially in his book, about the things that he's done at Victory, at Brisbane Roar. There was a famous story where there was a young player called Luke Devere, who still plays for Brisbane, and Ange told him, as a young player, you're coming to Melbourne, it's going to be tough out there, it's going to be at Etihad, there's going to be 50,000 people screaming you down. I don't want you to hoof the ball out when you're in trouble. I want you to play the ball out. I don't care how hard it is. That's just the way we're going to play. And in the first 5 minutes, he got the ball in a difficult position, and rather than hoofing it out, he tried to pass it back in, got intercepted, goal straight away. The Melbourne crowd let him have it. He looked over at Ange, and Ange just shook his head, said, don't worry, it's fine. 5 minutes later, he got caught again, tried to do the same thing, got picked off, and they scored. Oh. Anyway, they lost heavily that day. They lost 3-1. Ange took him aside at the end of the game.
Chopped his head off.
His head off. Gone. He's finished. And told the whole team, hey, that is the bravest thing. That is the best thing I've ever seen on a football field. We should congratulate that boy. That is unbelievable. And then after that, they were undefeated, and they still hold the record for the most undefeated games.
That's a great insight into Ange Postecoglou. I can't believe I'm about to to say this, but we know that the Italians have missed out on the World Cup.
Have they? I haven't seen the game yet. I'm going to watch it.
Is it possible that we can use the Italians to help us prepare for the World Cup?
Well, their coach is out of a job now. we could use him.
Can you use your influence?
We'd like the Italians to come out here and just help the Australians prepare for the World Cup. Is that possible?
I don't think that's a...
You're well connected.
I am well connected, but that is not a good idea. Trust me. It is so funny in Italy at the moment. By the way, I wanted last week, did I get a call from SEN to come on the show?
Yes. Of course. Because you refused to come on. You were so...
Can I tell you the story?
You're so downhearted.
No, my sister called me and she said, they're talking about you on SEN. They're saying you're in a fetal position. you can't come on. How is this for a crazy story? Last week, I was out with Glenn Robbins and Tom Gleisner. We're filming All Aussie Adventures. That's coming back.
Yeah,
from the makers of Utopia, All Aussie Adventures.
I love that.
Anyway, so we're out in central Victoria. We're in an obscure motel. You know how cable channels are pretty random in motels in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
And I knew that Italy game was on ESPN the following morning. And I'm going, wouldn't it be good if ESPN was on? So I've looked at cable and it's got Country Hits Network. It's got the Cartoon Network, Sky News, Footy Channel, ESPN.
No.
So I wake up early in the morning, watch the first half, wasn't very good. Then I had to go out shooting. So I didn't know what was going on. Out of courage, I couldn't. And then when I drove back in, the phone just went ping, 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 ping.
We thought you'd just thrown the toys out of the cot because as soon as Italy lost, we said, let's contact our famous Italians in
that's
this
right.
town. We this is the pecking list. Order. So you'll be interested to see where you slotted
in. Please.
Dipper. Dipper's response was, what game? I think it was Paul Dimatina. He said he was too busy at the pub. Tony Liberatore, who said, what game?
Oh, no.
So and Soss. And then we thought,
where's the Silvani?
So then Santa. Fifth, you're in the top five.
Oh, I'm in the top five. That's okay. It's so hilarious. It almost took the Italian coach as long as Robert Mugabe to retire. And they're still pointing fingers. Everybody's going, well, it's not my fault. You're the one that chose him. Going, no, I didn't choose him. I didn't. It's awful.
There's
it's
a moment. TV show on that for you guys. I'm assuming Santo, Sam Pang and Ed Cavalier.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Total Footy Podcast. It's from now right through the FIFA World Cup. You can get in on demand via Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. We love talking about it. We just can't stop doing our show. We started doing shows 2010 for SBS on the World Cup. And every time we've tried to stop, we keep texting each other sort of observations and jokes and stuff, so we just keep going.
Get on, have a listen. Now, we're going to get to this man who's going to tell us what's happening in the world markets.
For Melbourne Airport parking, it's cheaper than you think. melbourneairport.com.au and Self-Wealth. Trade the ASX no matter what size the trade for just $9.50 per trade.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Adam, did you see what happened there?
I did, unfortunately. Michael Moroney came over to get the ball off the ball boy. The ball boy didn't give it. And Chris Griffith-Jones knows the story and he's given him a straight red. He is off. The poor ball boy is so rattled, it's not funny. He doesn't know what's come on. It looked like a bear hug on the ball kid.
There's Adam Peacock, who's commentating for the Fox Sports. When it happens live, sometimes you need to see it back over and again. I'd be interested to see if he's got that same...
Was that an accurate description of what you saw?
Well, I thought...
Hang on. Let's go to our soccer expert.
You've gone to the expert because I'm Italian as well, and I reckon there's a bit of Italian in that boy.
Did it go down too easy?
He didn't go down too easy. I thought he made the most of it afterwards. That's my
Can you tell
opinion.
Me this?
What?
The Wisp said this to me today, which... I'm not familiar with it, but...
Is this about to be racist?
No.
I know he's a racist kind of guy. you should see him at South Melbourne Market. Oh, I think you got the Greeks there.
No, that's enough.
Oh, my God.
Is it true the ball boys are part of the, the sort of academies, and therefore they are told to hang on to the ball?
They are told. It's no surprise that...
Is that right?
They're told to hang on the ball, what?
And don't give it back because
they're the opposition.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this thing called YouTube? Because on YouTube, there's this thing where Chelsea played Swansea and Aidan Hazard.
We watched it.
He was trying to get the ball and he had kicked it out of the boy's guts, basically.
Well, that's a generous description of it.
But boy, the ball boy made a lot out of that, didn't he?
He did.
They would have been told at Swansea, hold on to the ball. Let's just slow the pace down a little bit. Sometimes they don't need to be told. It's part of the, You know what's required of you.
Okay.
The game last night was.
Was that penalty correct then? Do you think it's worth 3 weeks? A 3 week penalty, a red card?
Oh, is it all, a 3 week penalty? I think you have to set a precedent. You can't let that happen. So yeah. Eden Hazard got sent off the ground for Chelsea when that happened, even though it was.
I watched that this morning first time. I would have given him 12 weeks
for kicking like.
I thought that was horrendous.
But the kid was lying over the top of the ball.
I know, but that's not open slapping and kick him in the guts.
No, you can't just kick him.
I'm a bit old school here. I would have taken the belt out. I would have given a clip over
if that didn't work, after you've given him a good kick to the guts and he was still lying on it, what's next?
And then go stand in near the corner flag.
And no dinner for him when he got home?
No. I think that it's right to give those guys red cards. So I'll backtrack a little bit. because you can't really touch ball boys. You can't do that.
So it's a bit like John Burke and that famous incident with Slug Jordan commentating.
I think you've got to take the boy off.
I've been in Footy City a long time. I've never seen that, said the Slug.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
He jumped the fence and decked a spectator.
He's done well.
That's the best bit. Well, he's done well, the boy. Because he jumps and has a go.
Is the legs go up in the of the spectator that's caught one.
Is that in Sensational 70s or Electrifying 80s? Tell me what compilation that's in.
Electrifying
80s. I reckon it's 80s.
Yeah, you've got that.
Where was Robert Muir on Dennis Collins?
And
I don't reckon that, is there contact?
I reckon 70s.
Late 70s.
Is there contact?
Well, did you play in that game?
No, I wasn't playing in that game.
St Kilda and Carlton.
Collins didn't make the most.
Yeah, he didn't make contact.
I don't reckon he made contact.
Well, he should be wrestling then, because that was a great move.
That was brilliant.
Hey, and Adrian's been on the line for a while. Wants to talk about Ange Postecoglou. G'day, Adrian.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
I just want to let you know I've had some great parking just outside the city, called the freeway. But what I thought from day one is, with Ange, is that it's pretty obvious. If I was a coach, I've got a game plan, and I think he's really trying to shake it up and take it to the world. And if it failed, I would have resigned. And if it didn't fail, I'd keep it going because I've got 6 more months to perfect it and really see how it turns out.
That's fair enough. Yep. So you reckon now? So I'm reading, Ange, that you think it's starting to work now. So there's no reason he should go.
Absolutely. You know, there's no point staying if what I'm doing isn't working. Everyone's going to lose faith in it anyway, and I'm going to barrage of criticism. Now that I know it's working, the boys are behind it. We've got 6 months to perfect it. Yeah, I'd go for it.
Good on you, Adrian. Appreciate your call. Is it possible Ange has changed his mind?
From what? Because we don't know what.
No, I know that. So I'm talking hypotheticals. Yes. But
he was going. And
following
now he's not.
The narrative from afar as an outsider, it seemed to me that he was off.
I'm with you, Gaz.
Right? And then we've had this great game on the weekend. Richo just said that the love from the players.
Yes.
And watching that after the game, I'm saying they're both invested in each other. This is great. Is it possible that he's had a rethink?
I think so. I think so. To tell you the truth, I don't think he's had a rethink. I think he's always had the same idea. I think that there are probably some structures that he wants in place, and if they're there, he'll stay on, and if they're not, he won't.
Mm. Sam Kerr is one of the great soccer players in the world.
Awesome. Unbelievable.
Our girl Sam Kerr.
Unbelievable.
And yesterday she was asked whether or not she would even consider switching from soccer with the Matildas across to AFL. She said, you would have to be stupid for somebody to do that because of...
Are you paraphrasing that? Or?
No, that's exactly what she said. Okay. That would be stupid for somebody to do that. I travel the world. Nothing compares to the worldwide attention that soccer gets and get the opportunity to play in the Olympics, all that sort of stuff. If both of you had daughters and you had the choice of what they were going to do and what they were going to play, which way would you push them, AFLW or soccer?
Oh my goodness! Just in case people don't know, I'm a great footy fan. You know that I'm a great footy fan,
I do
follow my footy.
You love
as
your
much
footy,
as,
yeah.
As follow. I think whatever they feel that they can excel in, I would have no.
But given what Sam said, do you think she's right in what she's saying there? That you know the opportunity.
It depends. See, I love AFL because. You know, even though it's not a global game, so let's say my round ball colleagues would say, well, why are you so into AFL? It's such a local game. I love it because of that. I love having a passion for something which is so our thing.
Unique,
so,
yeah.
So therefore, I love that. However, if the girl thinks, I really want to make it on a world stage, or I think I've got something to offer, and I reckon I'm at that level, I would certainly push that before I push footy, because I think women's football is a great... women's soccer is a great thing overseas and is growing. And I think at the moment, Australia might end up, you know, we're close to being the number one country in the world, if we're not already.
No, we're six now. We're six, but we're on the climb.
On the climb. So I think it's a great sport for them to play. Mind you, I think women's cricket is a great... If I had a daughter, I reckon cricket would be a great sport for them to play as well. So...
Well, I've got three daughters, so I could borrow, lend one over you to you if you'd like, and you can trade back a son. Not
well, I've got two sons, so you can take both of them. but you could have a daughter playing each sport.
I could trial it all, but it's interesting when you see.
Have you thought about this, Richard?
Absolutely, because it's been front and centre at our house.
How old are you girls?
At 10, 12, and 4, 11, 13. 13 and 15.
Do you spend much time at home?
It's not going, it's not going just, into too much. But are they gravitating to one sport or another?
They've been pretty successful in individual sports.
Yes.
Well, and but suddenly AFL has emerged.
Right.
But I was involved in the coverage with Seven of the Matildas during the build-up towards the Rio Olympics. I love that game. And when you see Emily Van Egmond, etc., Sam Kerr making serious money... travelling the world, playing in Olympics, playing at a World Cup, that's the way I'd be going. I'd be going that way. I understand the AFLW and it's fantastic and everything, but I reckon we are one girl on national television running with the flight of the ball and getting hit down the middle and having their nose spread all over their face and blood everywhere. We will all go, I can handle it when our sons do that, but gee,
respectfully,
we feel a bit awkward about our girls,
but disagree.
I think we'll feel awkward about our young ladies having come in. They were savage
on their attack of the footy in that first series. I know, savage, and there was some bad injuries.
You misunderstood what I'm saying. Of course, they're savage. No, I'm saying us, the viewers,
visually,
the day, because the girls go where angels fear to tread, and there will be a big collision on national telly soon, where. One beautiful young lady, one of our daughters, will be splashed.
What about Lady Richo? Which camp would she be in?
She is firmly in the non-AFLW camp. Firmly.
Hey, we're going to move on. Santo, you are, as we always say, most welcome, and the support and love for you is...
Well, next time we're taking over, aren't we?
Well,
you guys have been kicked off. Guess what?
From Monday, you too. No, thanks for coming. What can we look forward to on the TV from the great
Russell
working
Coit's All Aussie Adventures next year. Wait. So we're looking forward to doing that, and probably more. Have you been paying attention? I don't know whether we'll come back for another Utopia. Maybe. No, we don't plan too far ahead.
When's Russell Coit going to... I love all your other stuff, but he's one of my...
I reckon the middle of next year should be the time.
Hey, thanks for coming in, mate.
It's a pleasure. All the best.
Santo Chilaro, great friend of ours here, and always welcome. Richo's going to hang around. He's got something very, very important to talk about next. I'm not sure what it is, but it will be.
<It's a theory.
laughs> And don't forget Santo, it's Sam important. And Ed's Total Footy Podcast. You can get onto that right now. That is compulsory listening. Julian De Stoop will come back, give us the latest from the Ange Postecoglou situation. That's on at 9 o'clock, the big press conference. But first, here's Emily Angwin, news headlines.
For Melbourne Airport parking, flying, book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And self-wealth. Trade the ASX no matter what size the trade for just $9.50 per trade.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Jason Richardson with us through until 9. Always great to have Richo in. And Julian De Stoop wanders back in too. The Ange Postecoglou press conference live at 9 a.m. We'll drop the news here on SEN and take that live. Does that mean we're working overtime? Crumbs. Before we get to Jules, that Greyhound Melbourne Cup draw that we started yesterday, are that many people trying to get on board? There are only... six dogs left.
That's it.
I've got the draw here in the terracotta pot.
Yep.
Hey, you got to do it professionally.
Really?
Yep.
This is the TAB Melbourne Cup, the world's richest greyhound race. It's on this Friday night at Sandown Park.
Are you out there?
I want to be there.
One of our lucky winners will take home $1,000 in cash. Now, to enter the TAB Melbourne Cup sweep, go to the win page, sn.com.au. Dogs 4 and 7 have already gone, so you can't get on Raw Ability or Aston Miley.
Richo, you know how we lauded Seven's coverage of you and the as the horses paraded, you and Francesca, and not so much other Nipsey, mate. But anyway, your coverage of that was outstanding. Your knowledge of the horses and their form. Well, this is the same here.
Really?
When we pull the dog out, you watch Wispy give you the background.
Does
on
he
the
know
dog.
His stuff? Oh. He is Greyhounds Francesca right. Cavani.
Our two lucky contestants today. Daniel Reed
You've
is
got
first.
Dog five.
Bing, 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 bing.
Five.
Oh, that's a good decision.
Oh, wow. Bitch. Uphill Jill.
Oh, bitch.
Group 1 Top Gun winner, Mr. Place, just twice in 13 starts. So it's got great Sandown Park form.
But it's got to run uphill.
She's already won the Group 2 Laurels and second in the Group 1 Sapphire Crown. Has run second 7 times in group race finals. This is a consistent performer.
That?
That's our good old mate Daniel Reed. So he's got 5 Uphill Jill.
It's a very, very good bitch.
Ben,
is it?
Yep.
Why do you enjoy saying that so much?
And out of the side of your mouth, just straight face.
Why
out of the side of your mouth? Hey,
that's greyhound talk.
Oh, is it?
I grew up with greyhounds.
Bone barrier.
Okay, Benny Dunlop. Benny Dunlop is our other lucky contestant this morning. He gets a dog. Gary, get your fingers.
Oh, he's got the pink dog.
Oh,
the number 8 Strike a Light, trained by Brett Bravo, reigning Victorian Sprinter of the Year. Won
bitch.
2 Group 1s
early
in 2017. Strike a Lighter is not a bitch. That's number 8. So congratulations to Daniel Reed and Benny Dunlop. We've still got
the favourite to go.
We've still got 4 dogs.
Who's,
what are the, who's left?
We've got Aston D B still. That's the favourite.
Aston
D B.
That's it.
Cooter Mayhem.
Cooter.
Chasing.
That's your dog.
Chasing Crackers is still there.
Yep.
And Bewildering is also.
Who's
still
the favourite for the Melbourne Cup?
Aston D B. Yeah.
Is he
still to come? The
wow,
favourite.
You're still alive. Jules, welcome back to you.
Thank you, boys. Now, just a bit of a developing story here. Announcement expected later this morning about a huge sporting development down on Victoria's Surf Coast. So the announcement's going to be in Torquay. A $350 million sporting precinct is going to be built.
A surfing precinct?
No,
sporting. No, but I'm saying, is it going to be a surfing?
On the surf coast.
No, sporting.
Not esports.
No, real sport. We're going to have AFL, we're going to have tennis, league, cricket facilities.
Where?
That's the details are sketchy.
Near Torquay, did you say?
Yes, down the surf coast. The announcement today is in Torquay.
So
there's going to be accommodation there for athletes, for the general public. And state-of-the-art sporting facilities. The
not AFL.
No, all sports.
Not
well, keep in mind
Mitchell.
That Alan Green and Brian Singer, Alan Green who started Quicksilver, Brian Singer who owns Rip Curl, they're in the ownership of the Melbourne Cup winner.
They were.
So maybe they're starting to spend their money on developing the area that they live.
So no
who's funding it?
No, details very sketchy.
Quicksilver
at this
stage
to be announced today.
No,
but
the state
big
government.
I mean, the government is involved.
You don't know
biggest sporting
details,
precinct in the Southern Hemisphere.
The biggest sporting precinct in the Southern Hemisphere. That's an amazing thing to be doing down there.
And how exciting for that precinct down there.
Oh, wow.
Just off the SMS too. Stick to horse racing. Strike a Light is a bitch.
Is it?
You said it wasn't.
Well, I just wanted to say the opposite whatever you said.
Brett from Sydney. So there you go.
Sorry, Brett.
I thought it was a bitch.
How many more times can you say that word before 9 o'clock?
I didn't realise it was
I'm
a
not
bitch.
Saying it for the sake of saying it. That's greyhound talk.
Quickly, boys. Champion League this morning. Liverpool have thrown up all over themselves. 3-0 up at half time. Ended up 3-3, but they're still going to finish top of the group, so no stress there. Man City, a late goal. They won 1-0 over Feyenoord. And Spurs, 1-0 down at half-time, turned it around in the second half. 2-1 over Borussia Dortmund. And your man, Gary, Harry Kewell.
Oh, yeah?
A win this morning.
Oh, great.
3-1 for Crawley Town.
He's good. A star.
Hey, well done. Off the SMS, too. People say this particular one, surprised there's no mention of the women's cricket. We have spoken about that
cricket,
this morning, of course.
Biggest chase last night by England.
It was,
beat
indeed.
The Aussies.
Hey, we're going to have the big build-up. The Andrews press conference, have we given that a fair run? It is big news, though, isn't it? It has been the big talking point.
It's massive. So KB's not going to be on at 9 o'clock?
Most influential man in AFL football.
I think so. Are we going to hold him back a bit, are we?
We are. Then he's got commitments after 9. All right, we will stay on and take that press conference.
That's,
and then
that's the least you could do.
Then we'll hand over to KB, the most influential man in AFL footy.
Don't forget the build-up to the test. I've got a theory that we're playing against a guy who's going to go down as the greatest English batsman ever.
That is coming up after the break.
For Melbourne Airport parking, book your parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And Self-Wealth, winners of the Australian Business Award 2017 for software innovation.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, and it's all about Ange Postecoglou right now, Whispers.
It is. If I gave you $13 billion, though, to fix the traffic congestion out there, how would you spend it?
I'll tell you after we speak to Adam Peacock, who's the main man on the... on
is
Fox.
It more important, is it?
This is more important
what
than
what about my theory,
traffic? Well, you can have your theory after the expert has his say.
Just when kick it forward to me and get out of my space.
Store gift expert comments, we'll talk to you.
You're dismissing a lot of people out there stuck in traffic.
Adam's been good enough to join us. Welcome and good morning, young man. What are we expecting at 9 o'clock?
Morning, boys. Sorry, I'm just right at the next to the school bell. It's not the, signification that Ange Postecoglou is going to let us know what the hell is going on, although it feels like that in Australian football. Just with your $13 billion, why wouldn't you just buy a helicopter with it?
Well, it could be cheaper. The way our state government runs this joint, mate, that might be their next suggestion. What do you think is going to be the announcement?
Honestly, I've absolutely no clue. And that's not because I've totally ignored the situation over the last week. I've tried to find out, but this guy, Ange Postecoglou, if he does quit, he should go and play on the World Series of Poker because he would be that hard to read sitting across the table.
It's we'll unusual, Adam, isn't it? Because, I mean, you're an ultimate insider, and usually by the time the announcement's made, those that are closest to it have got a pretty good understanding of what the announcement's going to be. So if you're still in the dark, then you're right. He's played a very nice hand.
Yeah, well, he's kind of kept everyone in the dark. He hasn't actually said that, it hasn't come from his mouth that, he wants to leave. That was a close source, in inverted commas, that Dave Davutovic reported in the Herald Sun after the Syria matches over a month ago. So he's actually never come out and confirmed nor denied. So he's held this secret within for that period of time. So I guess in the leading up to it, if he's made his decision. Now, he was in Sydney yesterday for the FFA Cup final last night, so I can only suggest that he's met with Stephen Lowy, the chairman, and also David Gallett yesterday afternoon. Had some party pies, gone to the football, watched the FFA Cup final last night, slept on it and woken up and said, yep, we want to do this. See, the announcement that there would be a press conference only came through an hour and a half ago.
Well, I'm connected to the soccer world, and my man is telling me that Ange is staying. Francis Leach has also reported, SEN's own Francis Leach has also reported this morning that Ange is going to stay. So that would be great news, I would think, Adam, if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more along the lines of hope. I don't have any definitive answer, but I hope he stays. He got us to the World Cup. There's no reason to change in terms of there's nothing greatly wrong with the way the team's functioning, and there's nothing, no one out there that springs to mind that you'd be able to install tomorrow as the replacement, a bit like Ange was when Holger Osiek had those horrible results 4 years ago, 6-0, 6-0 against Brazil and France, and Ange was basically waiting in the wings, and he was the number one candidate, and you could see that they could just slide him in there straight away. That's not the case now. So hopefully he does take them. The players like working under him. They've formulated this plan about how they want to play, and they've structured themselves accordingly over the past 6 months or so. It would be more of a hindrance than a help if he walked away, put it that way.
Well, we'll find out very shortly. Adam, love your work, mate. We appreciate you jumping on the line this morning.
Cheers, boys. Enjoy the traffic.
Fox Sports footy commentator Adam Peacock, Julian DeStoop, Jason Richardson with us. We're just going to have the opportunity to wax lyrical until such time as they say Ange is in the building.
Well, no, I've got a theory. Richo's got something that he needs to get off his chest.
I've got a theory.
This is the time to do it.
And I love theories. And if you've got a theory out there, you've got 90 seconds to give us a theory. 9429 1116. Joe Root.
Yeah.
He's had 60 test matches already, the babyface assassin. He's already scored over 5,000 runs. He averages over 50. He will end up being the greatest batsman England have ever produced. Oh. He'll go past Boycott, Gower, Gooch.
Len Hutton.
Go past them all. And England are way over the odds at the moment. We are getting ahead of our skis.
You reckon?
Australia. We're getting out of our lane. We are not that good.
You
and
reckon?
Joe Root is the one guy that can stop it. And England...
Richo, you must have been listening to me yesterday because I actually gave Gary some statistics yesterday about what England has done since the last Ashes series and what Australia has done on the world cricket stage since the last Ashes series. And there's only a cigarette paper between us in terms of the way that we've performed on the world stage.
And they are good. Joe Root is a gun.
Last time Joe Root came out and played under our conditions...
He was 14.
He was dropped.
He was
14. He got dropped from the English cricket.
He was homesick after the first test.
Because of the savage bounce that he's not used
to.
Really.
Exposed some very big deficiencies.
He is better than Stephen Smith.
He was still sleeping with the light on last time he was out here.
Not in these conditions, he's not better than Stevenson.
He was a kid.
We're about to find out. This kid is a gun.
He's not a kid anymore. He's a man. He's captain of the England.
He's a baby face.
I know, he's got a baby face, but he's a man now. He was a kid last time he was out here. A young, inexperienced kid.
He's a very...
He brought his teddy with him, and he's eating blighting books last time.
Just one of my theories.
Jules,
Thirsty Camel Christmas Party is back, boys. We're giving you the chance to join us on Thursday, November the 30th at the Sporting Globe, Richmond from 5 till 8pm. Congratulations to Greg Norris, Darren Buckley and Chris Gipps, who have won two tickets each. Go to our win page at sen.com.au for your chance to join them on November 30.
And if you're wondering what's going on, I see Jimmy Pignataro out there, who's the master producer of the world, as AFL footy's most influential man. We're going to push through the news here with the sports station, and that is the right decision because this is a big announcement that's been made by Ange Postecoglou and FFA.
We're like in a holding pattern at the moment because we're watching the presser, and they've just been setting up microphones. Check one, two,
always
two,
wanted
two,
to be on air to do this.
Two.
Standing by.
Surely.
I can see they're gathering at the particular venue.
Do you reckon we'll have microphones in the audience so we can actually, unlike an AFL press conference, we can actually hear when a great journo like the Stooper actually ask a question?
Rarely happens. Rarely
so
happens.
So frustrating for us.
Because so many journos go to water when they say they've got to get hold of mic, they don't want to ask a question.
Oh, they're not all TV professionals like you. But
Jules, have you... So, Wispy's declared he's staying. Richo's given the theory that he can't... would never go up there with the boss of the FFA next to him and say
David
he's going.
Gallup, correct.
Which is a very, very... poignant observation. You?
I think my gut feel earlier was probably wrong, and I think I'm going to go with Wispy and Jay. So I think
they're right.
Coming through, a couple of texts that have come through, it does sound like he is staying, which is great.
Joe Root, not good enough to put David Gower's pads on off the SMS.
That who is that? What's his name?
Anonymous.
Okay, Anonymous. Mr. A. Anonymous, just keep his number down and let's revisit that. After five tests here in Australia, Joe Root, bona fide star.
I can see KB out there circling. He's thinking, what the hell's going on? When he gets back from doing what he has to do, Jimmy, can you get him in here? I want to see, while we wait for the press conference to start, I want to see his reaction, or get his reaction, if we wouldn't mind. Kevin Bartlett's wandered in, the man who's normally... sorry, we're eating into your time, great man.
Now, what's happened? Why am I here?
Well,
I anointed you.
This morning, we asked the question, who's the most influential and powerful voice in AFL football? And Tim says it's you.
Thank you,
Jim. In all seriousness,
your reaction
KB,
to that.
Well, you've changed the rotation system in the game, and you were the most outspoken person about retaining the bounce in the game, and thank goodness that the AFL Commission listened to you.
Well, I think it's important. I've said many times before, it's quirky. It's Australian rules football. For many years, over 100 years, we say it's the greatest game on the planet. So it's got a lot of strange things about it. Plays with an oval-shaped ball. We don't have to even recall the bounce. I know that at the moment they're going to recall the bounce. They said there's only been about 3%. But bouncing the ball is just Australian rules football. If we want a hybrid game, we have a tip-off. It takes away ruck work, you know, the ability of a ruckman to use his body. All those sorts of things. I mean, all I'm talking about is the historic sense of the game of Australian rules football.
Hey, will you all listen? And you know, I know you and Ralph, you came out. We don't want you to do all your best stuff with us because that's to be done on your show. But we are more interested in... I know how firmly you believe in what you're saying, because I listen to you every morning. Do you then take it up with the AFL, or is it just like... Tim's been serious. Your influence is profound. Do they then contact you, and do you discuss it and talk it through, or...?
No, I don't have any contact...
None?
..with the AFL. No, I don't have any
contact.
What
about the Saudi? Do you have any Saudi...
Not a side whisperer? Just wander up and go, listen here, Gil.
No, I just... Look, I don't know whether they listen or not, but I just give my thoughts and impressions on the game. And I think the game of Australian rules football is a fantastic game. I think there's aspects of the game that have disappeared to the detriment of the game. And unfortunately, younger folk don't quite understand it. We let interchange get so far out of hand that we couldn't control it.
Yep.
And we got a style of play. Once we used to have, contests within contests. We used to have, someone used to kick 100 goals in a season. Full forwards were the biggest names in the game. A lot of things have disappeared from the game.
Yep.
So,
Campaign Kev, I want to know. I want to know where you're heading next.
Well, what, no, Kev can, in fairness to KB, he can do that on
no,
his
no,
own.
Well, I'll be still chipping away at interchange. I'll be still
what
chipping
away. What do you want to get it down to? 25?
We don't need interchange.
We don't need it.
We don't need it. We need. We can have a lot of people sitting on the bench. You can have six people sitting on the bench if you want to. But once you come off, apart from the blood rule, you're off the field. And that way...
good luck with that.
We've got... I know, good luck, but you keep chipping away. But there may be some interchange. But the game was built on 18 against 18. Yes. Take a deep breath. Yes. Get tired. Go again. Who's strong of mind?
Like
who's got
that.
The ability to go again?
Like
all
that.
These sorts of things were part of Australian rules football. It wasn't about come onto the ground. How do you know how good some of these players are? They come onto the ground now, run for 5 minutes, and then come off the ground and take a rest for 3 minutes. Now, if you're on the ground when that 3 minutes is on, if you're on the ground when that 3 minutes is on, and all of a sudden the ball comes, and you're too tired to run after the ball.
And just holding his press conference up because he wants to hear the end of your story.
Ange who?
Exactly.
What does he know about Australian rules football?
They're running late. We're going to take a break. We're going to hand over to KB and Ralphie, and they can take it through. And as soon as that press conference starts, they'll go live to it. But, hey, Richo, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolute bloody pleasure. Gosh, that was good fun.
I think we've underutilised him today.
Yeah, no, here we go.
Seriously, just kick it long.
Well done to you, Jules.
Thanks, boys. Some space.
KB, Ralphie, up next.